talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat improv style. And we will provide you with tips and advice, resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. We've got guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry, so that means that we'll have somebody from a career that you're interested in. If you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can visit our Question Reality website, our official Question Reality website, and that direct website address is questionreality.us. Questionreality.us, not .com.us. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, and listen or download any of the shows, click on the Schedule 1 link that's at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. So if you're there now listening to the show, if you go up to the top and you look, there's something that says Schedule 1. Click on it, look for our show, Question Reality, in the time slot of Sunday at 5, and then click the link. And that'll take you directly to our archive page, and there you can peruse at your own leisure, check out the title of the guest, and then click play, which will start playing the show immediately, or you click download, and that will download the show to your computer. You can also check out any of our shows from the podcast section of iTunes, and we would love for you to call in and ask questions or provide comments on the show from any of our guests. We ask that you please call in between 5:20 and 5:30. And when you call in, keep in mind that we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. And the call-in number should be right in front of you, right on the left-hand side with my little picture there. But just in case, the call-in number is area code 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Now, we have a fantastic guest for you today. A lot of you have been sending in your emails. I've got 17 emails total with questions. Her name is Betty Jo Tucker, and she is entertainment journalist, editor, film critic, writer, and host. And we're so excited to have her here, and we're going to talk to her in a couple minutes. But I just want to go over a couple. First of all, I wanted to let you know that this great play, The City by Clyde Fitch, which was adapted and directed by Stan Mazin, it opened on January 22nd at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, and it goes from January 22nd until February 28th, Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m., Sunday matinee at 3. And if you want to find out more about it, you can go to their website. It's The Group Rep.com, thegrouprep.com. I have not gone to see it yet, so I can't personally vouch whether it's good or great, or I just couldn't tell you. But I do know that The City by Clyde Fitch, it was written by one of America's most prominent playwrights of the earliest 20th century, of course, and then as some of you theater people may know, shortly after his death, the play opened on Broadway. There was universal acclaim because it was a story about this guy, George Rann, who was just desiring city life. He came from a little small area, and then when he gets his wish, he discovers that he might possibly lose everything if he can't resist temptation and corruption, and ambition is involved, greed, scandal. So that's all the stuff that's going on today. So I can't imagine that you wouldn't be able to relate to it. It's an American classic, so you'll just have to go and see if you like it for yourself. And again, that's at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, and it will go until February 28th, so you might want to go and check it out. I know the theater is handicap accessible, air conditioning, lot and street parking, plenty of parking. So, again, thegrouprep.com. Also, I wanted to tell you about the movie, if you haven't gone to see it yet. Josh Weigel is in this movie called, he plays the character, one of the lead characters, Chris Vaughn, in this feature film, which is called To Save a Life, which opened in theaters on January 22nd. And I can't wait to ask if Betty has seen that, because she does go to see our guest today, Betty Jo Tucker, does go to see about 200 movies a year. So I don't know if she's seen this particular movie yet. But again, my friend Josh Weigel is the lead character, Chris Vaughn, in To Save a Life, which opened January 22nd. And basically, this is a redemptive film. So it's geared towards the teen audience. And it's about this guy whose childhood friend, Jake Taylor, who was this all-star athlete, he's got to change his life, and he's got to sacrifice his dream, basically, to save the lives of others. So that's got to be a great message for our teens today, to learn a little bit about sacrifice. If you want to find out more, you can watch the trailer. It's a fantastic trailer. It's tosavealifemovie.com. tosavealifemovie.com. It looks fantastic from the trailers. Again, not to mention there are some hot, sizzling, ripping hunks of love, burning love, for you ladies that are interested in looking at hot young guys. I am, but Josh Weigel, again, he does a fantastic job. You got to check it out. And I just wanted to let you know a couple of you have emailed me and said, oh my God, I was expecting to hear your show with Enrique Ramirez and then Cortez Alexander, and I apologize for that, but I had some router problems the past, 1 week was a router problem. The other week there was a mix-up, and unfortunately the guy was not able to be contacted. But I had the router problems, couldn't get a strong enough signal to air the show, and that was the show that Enrique Ramirez, a face to Face New York, was going to be on, and I really wanted to do the show with here, and he has this incredible celebrity boutique spa in New York, and I really wanted to tell you about it, because he was having this little red carpet event there, and if you were in Manhattan, you could have gone there. Compliments of mentioning my name, Priscilla Leone, Question Reality. That didn't work out, but I did want to tell you about some exciting news that you're going to be in Manhattan, Face to Face New York will be having this hot happening big Brazilian beach bash, and it's entitled Ipanema, and it's going to be Saturday, March 6th. At the Grace Hotel in New York. So Saturday, March 6th. It sounds like it's going to be so fun. Hot sizzling time, maybe. So make sure if you go, you tell Enrique Ramirez, who's the owner of Face to Face New York, that you heard about the party from me on Question Reality. He's a wonderful guy, very friendly. He will greet you with open arms. I love him to death. Incredible guy, and you got to check out the salon. So if you want more details about this party, visit their website. It's facetofacenyc.com. facetofacenyc.com. And Face to Face New York is located 20 West 20th Street in New York City, Suite 603. Again, facetofacenewyork.com. And some very exciting news from the show that we didn't get to air last week. This is Cortez Alexander, and this is the vocal quartet. The news for him was the vocal quartet, the Tonics, which was a famous group. It was comprised of Cortez Alexander, of course, Michael Patrick Coughlin, Gene Reed, and Katie Talbot. They're going to be playing at Joe's Pub on February 28th, March 1st, and March 8th at 7 p.m. And, of course, that's in New York as well. And proceeds from the final concert will benefit Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. So, as you know, people who are familiar with the group The Tonics, celebrity Cortez Alexander and Michael Patrick, Gene Reed, and they have the newest member, again, Kathy Talbot. They're an acclaimed Los Angeles-based vocal quartet. And they're reuniting again after 15 years. So they're just thrilled, I guess, to once again share their unique sound and their intricate harmonies. You should hear them. It's just amazing to listen to this group. And they have like this eclectic repertoire all geared up and ready to go. And it includes everything from Stephen Sondheim to Stevie Wonder. So there's songs, I'm sure there's something in there you're going to love. And then they also have original songs. Now, if you're not familiar with the Tonics, in the 90s, they dominated the New York City LA club scene, and they were garnering rave reviews and all kinds of awards all along the way, everywhere they went. And they have sung on many stages from Carnegie Hall, which was by request of Stephen Sondheim himself. There's a whole little cute story involved with Cortez Alexander and Stephen Sondheim, which I'm not going to get into. He'll be back on the show, but he requested them personally for his Emmy-nominated PBS special that was honoring him at the Lincoln Center. They've also been at LA's Wiltern Theater, the Gibson Amphitheater, which was the opening number for Comic Relief 7. They had other television appearances, which includes the Rosie O'Donnell Show, Good Morning America, you name it. The foursome have given up their time and talent to so many causes over the years, such as stage benefits for APLA, LaShanti Foundation, and the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, and of course the March of Dimes Telethon. So it would be really great if you could actually, kind of come out and support them. It would be really nice. And again, Cortez Alexander, he was an award-winning, Tony Award-winning at Liza's at the Palace. You know, of course, if you listened to my show last year, he was on. He's been playing with Liza Minnelli for 17 years, I believe 17 years. And Liza Minnelli just loves him and adores him. And he just came off of that Tony Award-winning Liza's at the Palace. And I think that DVD is available right now. It came on sale earlier this month, I believe, February 3rd. So he also has his own solo CD, which is Swell, and that's available on iTunes. And Michael Patrick Coughlin, one of the group, he's a songwriter. He performs in clubs all over LA, and his songs can be heard on MySpace.com. Gene Reed, who's a member, he's a member of the Dan Band. He's touring to sold-out concerts across the country, and he can be seen on the motion picture Old School. The group is a reoccurring guest on the new Jay Leno show, so you might see him on the Jay Leno show. Again, look for him, Gene Reed. And Kathy Talbot is a very well-respected film and TV composer and a music producer, and her music and voice can be heard on Ugly Betty. Oh, my favorite show, one of my favorite shows, CSI, Burn Notice, and The Mentalist. So, and this production is being presented by RJ Productions. It's very inexpensive. It's $25. You cannot beat that. You cannot beat that to hear this group. And they have a great chemistry between them. They always put on a fun show because they're fun people. So, again, Joe's Pub is located at 425 Lafayette Street, New York, New York. And for more information, you want to visit joespub.com. Again, joespub.com. And when you hear them, you're just going to be amazed. You got to check them out if you're in New York. Now, without further ado, because I've got my little Betty Jo Tucker waiting in the wings, let me tell you a little bit about Betty Jo Tucker, my guest today. As I said earlier, she is an entertainment journalist. She's an editor, film critic, writer, host. There's nothing Betty Jo can't do, and she bakes muffins, I'm sure. She currently serves as editor and lead critic for Real Talk Movie Reviews and writes film commentary for the Colorado Senior Beacon. She also writes for News First Online, Real Movie News, The Romance Club, and the Omaha Family Newspapers. And during Betty's career as an entertainment journalist, Betty Jo has interviewed all kinds of people. She interviews such stars, some of my favorites, stars and filmmakers, Susan Sarandon, Ian McKellen, Angelina Jolie, Aidan Quinn, Barry Bostwick, Tony Shalhoub, one of my favorites, Fred Willard, Aaron Eckhart, M. Night Shyamalan, I can never say his name, Shyamalan, Olive Parker, Brendan Fraser, Chin Kaj, who I'm not familiar with, or Cage, Rachel Griffiths, Douglas McGrath, Hector Elizondo, one of my favorites, and Annette Bening. So, pretty heavy list Miss Betty Jo's gotten herself involved with. And she also belongs to the Online Film Critics Society and is a founding member of the San Diego Film Critics Society. She's a published author of two books. My favorite, which I love this book. It's Confessions of a Movie Addict and Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick. And both of these books have received rave reviews from film fans and critics alike. So I am going to make sure that I let you guys know where you can get these books, because I tell you, we're going to just have to talk about it. Betty Jo, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm laughing, Priscilla, because you said she makes muffins, and I don't make muffins, but I eat them. I eat muffins.
Okay, so you do everything but make muffins, but it just sounds like you're one of those all-world-encompassed people. You're a wine connoisseur, a cheese connoisseur, a food connoisseur.
No.
You just remind me of one of those people has an apron on, a chef hat, a pen writing down your notes, and a mixing bowl in the other hand.
Cooking, because my cooking days were over very early on. I must have been about 12 years old, and my mother said, "Go stick a fork in the potatoes to see if they're done." And then about 15 minutes later, I heard my mother scream, and I went in there, and she was just absolutely, absolutely beside herself, because she saw 8 potatoes in the oven with 8 forks sticking out. My cooking days were over.
Oh, my God, you stuck 8 forks in the potatoes!
One fork in each potato.
Well, at least you were accurate and thorough. That sounds like something my husband would do. I would tell him that. He'd stick 8 forks in it, too. So you're not the only one.
So from then on, I devoted myself to going to the movies mostly and staying out of the kitchen. My husband is a very good cook, though.
So, well, thank God you got to eat good, Betty Jo.
I know.
I hope he's fixing you some good meals.
Oh, he does. Well, and I'm vegetarian, and he's not. So, but he's so nice. He fixes all the different dishes. Like today, we had chili, and mine was vegetarian. And then he would fix meat on the side, you know, when I wasn't looking, and put it into his.
Isn't that nice? Now, have you always been vegetarian, or just
No, I haven't. About 20 years, I've been vegetarian. I'm not an evangelist about it, but I just feel much better. Just I don't eat anything that once was cute.
Oh, I know. I swear, I do. I do want to become vegetarian. I really do. But it's so hard because the meat tastes so good. And I love my chicken nuggets. Oh, God, I love the chicken nuggets. And I just hate that I love meat. I really do. I wish I could go vegetarian, because it just breaks my heart that, that the animals have to be sacrificed. I'm going to do it one of these days, because it is in the back of my mind. I really do. And that's one of my goals before I think I'm going to put that on my bucket list. So that'll be one of the things before that. Now, Betty Jo, for those people who don't know about you and who you are, Betty Jo Tucker, I was introduced to her via Francine Silverman. I don't know how you met Francine Silverman, but I got an email, and she said, I've got this fantastic guest. You got to have her on the show. She's wonderful, blah, 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 blah. And she gave me her website address, and I was checking your website out, and then you were, and I said, oh my God, this woman sounds so cool and interesting. I got to have her on the show. I had not had a film critic on as of yet. And I thought that would be a great addition. And then you were gracious enough to send me an email, agree to be on my show, and then you offered to send me two of your books. And I started reading Confessions of a Movie Addict, and I honestly had never, oh my God, I loved this book. I have not finished it, I'll be honest with you. I am a slow reader because I got so many other things going on, but what I do is every spare moment that I have, I'm drawn to this book. I'm up to the part where which I was laughing. I had to get a napkin. I'm up to the part. I did, because I had tears rolling out of my eyes. You're so funny. I mean, I can't even believe. I'm up to the part where you, and I haven't read it in a while, but it was the part where you and your husband went to a movie theater, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was a porn theater, and you came, and you were used to going to this theater, and you knew where the seats were, but then you didn't know where the seats were, and you fell over something, and they had to carry you out in a stretcher, and then you being carried out on the stretcher, and you're a dean, I think, of a school, and then you heard one of them say, or something was said, oh my God, this movie must really be good.
Yeah, there's our dean of women being carried out by the paramedics. I tripped over a picket fence. We usually sat in that theater about six rows from the screen, and so we arrived a little bit late, and I was just eager to get down to our regular seats, so I was carrying my popcorn and looking up at the screen, you know, because it had started, and so I was just, you know, hurrying down to the seats, and then I don't remember anything except waking up, and there were the paramedics over me. I fell and, you know, knocked the wind out of my, well, I was unconscious.
I know, and it was, it's funny because, you know, you're the dean of a school of women's studies, and they're carrying you out on the stretcher from this porn theater, and was it a porn theater?
No, please. This is Pueblo, Colorado.
Okay.
And this is back in you know, maybe 1960s, and it was Pueblo's first X-rated movie. I've even repressed the name of it. But we, you know, we wanted to see what it was all about.
The first X-rated. Okay, X-rated film is different from you perusing the porn scene.
No.
We didn't get this. Different.
And then the little usher, he was so upset because evidently we, you know, I at least hurried in and didn't wait for the usher. And he was so upset about it all. He felt it was his fault, and he quit and joined the Peace Corps.
Oh my God! Now isn't that something? But you know, I mean, that was a great, great promotion for the film. The women of Dean Studies passing out because it's
well,
so X-rated.
No,
worse,
Priscilla. Worse, Priscilla. Dean of Women.
Dean
I
of
was the
women.
Dean of Women. I was in charge of discipline.
I know. Oh, that is. This is what. That was just hysterical.
Oh, well,
you are
so nice to talk about that book because it was such fun to write, and as you know, and I just appreciate so much that you found it funny because that's what I
oh God
what
I
wanted.
I can't wait to finish it. I got to get this book to Oprah somehow. I really do because she is going to think this is as funny. I know because I think I've watched her enough to know that we have sort of the same humor. So I know she's going to think that some of these stories are just hysterical. It is my goal. I'm putting that on the bucket list too now, Betty Jo. I got to get her that. I got to get that book to her before I kick the bucket too, for sure.
Hooray! I'm going to send you extra special good vibes.
Now, Betty, now in your book, so questions now. The first question is, now in your book it states that you see about 200 movies a year. Now, is that because, I mean, I can't even imagine seeing 200 movies a year if this is like going to the theater because it's so expensive. So the question is that because you're a critic and you have to see them for your critiques that you go to all these movies, or is this just your desire to do so?
Well, actually, being a critic is just kind of an excuse for me to go to all the movies that I want to go to. But no, I've always been a movie addict. I've never been able to cure this addiction. And from the first memory that I had was of being frightened and fascinated by Boris Karloff in Frankenstein. That's one of the first memories. And ever since that, painful day, I can anytime that I can. So no, it's out of desire. I have a high tolerance for bad movies, which comes in handy because
Right. Even
if you see a bad movie, you know, it's fun to talk about that movie,
right.
And you
yeah.
can always find something positive in most movies. So, but I will watch anything that flickers.
Oh, I like that. Now, does that mean that you go out to the theater to do this? Do you rent them? Do you order from Netflix, Blockbuster? How do you actually see these 200 movies a year? Do you actually
go to
the theater?
I do, yes, we do. My husband is an enabler. He likes movies almost as much as I do. And we both go to the theater. We see two or three movies a week on the big screen at the theater.
Expensive though, Betty Jo.
It is. Well, for most critics, for most critics, they get to see these free. When I was living in San Diego, the studios hold screenings for film critics, and that's free. And so we enjoy that in San Diego a lot. But now that I'm in Pueblo, Colorado, I would have to drive up to Denver for the screenings. So we actually do go pay for the movies that we see here in Pueblo, Colorado. But we also get screeners from some studios and from independent filmmakers who want me to take a look at the film and review the film. So we may see more than 200 a year if we count the screeners that we receive from the studios and from independent filmmakers. And we're just happy campers.
Now, this question is from Emily from Duluth, and she says, "Would you consider yourself obsessed, seeing over 200 movies a year? And if so, why are you so obsessed with movies?"
Yes, I definitely consider myself obsessed, Emily. That's a very good question. And why am I so obsessed? Well, I think it's just because I'm taken to places that I can never actually go to. I'm exposed to artistry. I think movies are the central most art of our times. You've got to have the cinematography, you've got the writing, you've got the acting, you've got the music, and you've got wonderful performances, great stories when things work right, and then of course the cinematography. So when everything just works together, it's just like magic to me. I mean, and I don't know, are those endorphins or endolphins or whatever that kick in your brain, the pleasure?
Yes. You get a dopamine drip, Betty Jo. We all need to be hooked up to dopamine. Okay, yeah. So the next question comes from Laura from Boston, and she says, "Have you ever met other people as obsessed with movies as you? Is obsession for movies a common characteristic in people who choose to become movie critics?"
What was the name of the person?
Laura.
Laura? Mm-hmm. Well, Laura, that is another good question. And yes, I have met people who are, well, almost as obsessed as I am with movies. And I've already mentioned one, and that's my husband. And Actually, most of my family, to tell you the truth, and thank heavens they are. Critics, I think most people who decide to be film critics have maybe not as much as I am, because I think that I'm probably the world's most avid movie addict. But I think they have to have a passion for film and then a passion for writing. I think those two things go together for a film critic, and those have been my two passions. So I'm just blessed and lucky that I'm able to put those two passions together and see as many movies as I can, and that people don't make fun of me too much for doing that.
Saying you're a little nutball, huh, Betty Jo? That little nutball Betty Jo.
Right.
Want to see that movie again, huh? No. And the next question comes from Stanley from Richmond, Virginia, and he says, would you say most movie critics are hoping to write a great review or a scathing review?
Stanley, personally, I like to write positive reviews, because of course I enjoy movies so much. But also sometimes I like to do the scathing reviews because they're fun to write. But I'm not sure that most critics like to do the positive reviews, and especially when you have a year like we had in 2009, where there were so many movies that really weren't up to snuff. So I think it's a personal thing. With me, I prefer accentuating the positive over the negative, but sometimes the devil makes me do it, and I
the positive. I like to read the bad reviews personally, because then I'm like, let me read the bad ones and then I'll read the good ones. But know what I find that I read both. I don't just go with one. I do like a whole tally, to be honest, Betty Jo, because you know why? It's expensive to go out to the theater. And my husband and I, we have date night every Friday. Usually he has gigs on a Saturday, and then Sunday I have my radio show, and then I also have a website design business, so I'm usually very, very busy. So we have like one night, and it's usually Friday night. So we both love to go to movies as well. We do. But I don't know how much it is to go to a movie there, but I think the prices are pretty comparable across the country. But we like to go to this one particular theater here. It's called the Dome Theater, and it's $14 each.
Oh, yes.
And that's not including, your popcorn, and I got to hook myself up with some chocolate. And then by the time you get your popcorn and your Coke and your chocolate, oh my God, you're like, it's like $60, right?
That's a good point. That's very good point. And I think a film critic has to be fair to the people who are reading the reviews.
Exactly.
and include the positive and the negative in one review, so it's not all positive, and making sure that readers know the target audience for the movie.
Right.
I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
It is, because it's expensive, and I want to hear, I really want to hear both, but a lot of times I find that it'll be just all negative, or it'll be just all positive with maybe one line negative, and I want to hear both. So what I have to do is I go to different websites that I trust, that I have found true, because as a movie goer, I find that there are, I can have 10 people before I decide to go to a movie. I'll ask all these different people, how was the movie? Now, there are people who are going to say, oh my God, it was so great, blah, 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 blah. And then you're going to have another person that doesn't like it, just hates it. So you got two, and you're like, well, they're both my friends. Which one do I trust? It's hard good because they're both your friends. You should trust both their opinions, but you just don't really know until you go yourself. So asking a friend whether they liked it or didn't like it, it's going to help a little bit, but I have found that there were times when people said they hated it and I went to see it and I loved it and vice versa. So, I don't know what you can do other than what I do, which I go to IMDb, which I have found that most of the people, there are some regulars that write reviews that I have found that I've agreed with. So I kind of track it by that, by who are that I trust and have the same types of likes that I like. What are some of the tips that you could give a moviegoer as to who they can really go to or read or trust that they're going to get an accurate review?
Well, I think that you said it. You find reviewers that you do trust that have similar tastes to your own. And I know that's what I do, too. And then on our site, realtalkreviews.com, that's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com, there are six, and many times the films that are reviewed will have more than one on that site. And they're not all of the same opinion. So each of our critics has a following. And I think that's the main thing, is to find a critic that you sort of have the same. Or if you have a critic who writes that you don't agree with, then you know that if that critic likes a movie, you probably won't. I have one, and I'm not going to name any names.
Oh, damn it.
and vice versa. I think that's really the best. And, of course, you get all these fresh and rotten reviews, rating for films on Rotten Tomatoes, too. You get a lot of little short blurbs, and then whether the critic rates it fresh or rotten. So IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes.
That's true. You just never know. Okay, let's move on to the questions. I want to try to get them all in there. We've got Barbara from Baltimore who writes, "Dear Betty, does the actual critique make a difference to the venue of which you are writing? Are some critics encouraged to write a bad or good review by their employers?"
Barbara, what a terrific question. I have not had that happen to me, and that's probably the only way I can judge on that. Of course, I'm the editor of Real Talk Movie Reviews or realtalkreviews.com, and so we don't tell our critics whether they should write a review that's positive or negative. And I think it's just maybe some of the major outlets do, but I have not heard that as a complaint, at least in the Online Film Critics Society, which I belong to, and also the San Diego Film Critics Society, which I'm still an honorary member of. So, but that's an excellent question. That's something that could happen, but I have had no personal experience with it.
Okay. All right. We got the next question from Gloria from Atlanta, Georgia, one of my favorite places. Haven't been there, but it's on my bucket list. And she asks, "Dear Betty, does Paola exist in the world of the critic?"
Well, secretly, it could, I think. But nobody has offered me Paola.
So they don't say, "Betty, I want you to come. So Steven Spielberg hasn't called you up and said, "Betty,
no.
I want you to come to my movie. I want you to give it a good..."
Well, you know, that's an interesting that you said it in that way, Priscilla, because some people criticize the junkets that are held by some studios for their films, where they'll invite critics and fly them to, what is it, New York or Los Angeles, you know, put them up in a hotel, and then they interviews are set up with the stars. Some people, the junket, a form of payola.
Wow.
So that might be, that's the only thing that I would be aware of. And
darn, Betty. Betty, you're not getting anything. You're not even getting baskets.
I'm just getting to go to a lot of movies
and interview
film related personnel.
And that's the best gift ever. Okay. Let's move on to, this comes from Larry from Detroit, and he says, "Dear Betty, if a person wanted to become a professional movie critic, how would one go about accomplishing this goal?"
I'm biased on that because I teach a little class for the online, the Long Story Short School of Writing, and the class is called, The Real Deal, Writing About Movies, and there's six lessons that I teach, and we do it one-on-one online. And so I would suggest, Larry, that you go to my website, www.bettyjoetucker.com, and go to the writing course. Click the little thing at the top to the writing course, and that will take you to a little more information about the six lessons. And we talk about how to become a film critic, and mostly it's just to start writing, seeing movies, start writing little reviews. That's how I got started, and just send them to the various outlets with a request, you know, to be included as a film critic in the outlet that you're writing to. But we do go through that in one of the lessons too, as to how to contact the people that are doing the hiring of film critics. It's not a good time now for film critics, though. Even some of the best film critics around have been retired early. That's a nice way to say it, because newspapers are having such a bad time. So you don't become a film critic to get rich. And you do it because you love it and because you love to write. And it might take you a little while. You might have to offer your services free before you start getting some money. And I did that too. So I know that's a good thing to do. But go ahead.
That's a great. Well, I'm so glad that you offer that, because I'm sure that you give a very thorough class there. So check out Betty Jo Tucker. I want to get in. It's 5:42, and we only have to 5:50. So I want to get in a couple more questions. Okay, this one is from Amanda from St. Paul, Minnesota. If you were still in school, what subjects would you recommend? And I don't know what – I imagine she means to become a film critic, but that's what it says. If you were still in school, what subjects would you recommend?
Amanda, I would recommend English courses, writing courses. There are film studies courses also, or film as literature, anything about, you know, drama, art, cinematography, photography, the arts. So I would – anything in the arts and the humanities – and if you're lucky enough, you will be in an institution where they do offer some film classes. Mostly it's film as literature, but that'll be good background information for you, and writing courses. And just write, and see movies.
Oh, sounds good. Okay. Next question comes from Lisa from Manassas, Virginia, and she writes, Dear Betty, what would your resume entail to seek employment as a movie critic? That kind of is what you already went over, but maybe you can add something to that.
Do you
need a resume? I guess basically what she's saying is, if you wanted to become a movie critic, I mean, what kind of resume would you have? You know, how would you write that up rather than, you know, the standard resume?
Yeah. Well, we do go through that in the class too,
okay.
Lisa. And what we would do is we would help you with the type of query letter that you would send to the right person at the outlet that you're interested in. And then also you would you would be sure to have some links to where, because we can all have websites, we can all have blogs, we can all have places online where we place our reviews that others can see. So you would want to put your best one, or you know, a variety of the reviews that you've done. And maybe you haven't been paid for, they haven't been published somewhere, but at least this would give the editor in charge of doing the hiring some idea as to whether or not they'd want to get back to you.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And our next question comes from Pamela from Billings. And she says, "Dear Betty, during your career as an entertainment journalist, you have certainly interviewed many celebrities. However, you decided to write a book about Susan Sarandon. Why?"
Well, first of all, she was a favorite of the publisher. But the publisher didn't say about Susan Sarandon, but I knew that Susan Sarandon was a favorite of hers. And besides, I thought that I couldn't find anyone that was any more interesting than Susan Sarandon. Considering all the different roles she's played, considering her her life outside of the movies, and her willingness to be candid and the causes that she supports. I mean, you mention Susan Sarandon in any group, and it'll perk up the conversation right away. So she was a perfect subject to choose in writing that book, and very difficult, and really that was just a year out of my life when that's all I did was write that book. But thank you very much for asking about that.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that I did choose her, because I learned a lot by doing that book, and it's been it was a real pleasure to find out about her and about the causes that she has supported, and I'm happy to donate all my author's royalties to one of the projects that Susan Sarandon supports, which is the Myelin Project, and that came out of her work in Lorenzo's Oil, which was one of her very, very best movies, where she played Michaela Adoni, the mother of the son who came down with this disease that the doctors said that he would. So it really was changed my life working on the book. So thank you for that question.
Okay. We are on to our next question from Karen in Toronto. And she says, "Who was your favorite celebrity to interview and why?"
Oh, my gosh, Karen.
I know, you've interviewed so many.
My favorite son. you know, I absolutely, I have to say that there were so many, but I will pick one now. Now, when you ask me again, I'd probably pick another one, but I just loved interviewing Ian McKellen. I think because I was so surprised at him. I expected this snobby British Shakespearean actor, and got the most down-to-earth, candid, humorous, just generous person to interview. And he's just not at all like you see him on screen. He's just completely real, genuine, and was a delight to interview.
Fantastic. Oh, and he's one of my favorite actors, too. Okay, so this is from Robin Lumberton, North Carolina. Oh, my God, we got 2 minutes. I'm going to miss the last few. Okay, may I ask, what are your favorite types of film?
Musicals and thrillers. Musicals and thrillers. Oh,
yeah.
I can't get enough of musicals and thrillers.
Oh, you little
Singing in the Rain. Singing in the Rain and Vertigo would probably be at the top of my list of those, my two favorite genres.
Okay.
What a great question.
Yeah, and this comes from Kimberly, Miami, Florida. During your reviews, do you find you are more critical of your favorite types of films? Oh, my God, that's going to be a long question answer. Oh, okay. So we got that one. I'm going to let you pick. I'm not going to put the pressure on myself. We got that question, and we got Bobby from Los Angeles. What about your least favorite types of films? I think he meant, what are your least favorite types of film? Maybe we could do that one.
Okay, torture porn. I can't take movies like Saw. I mean, I think I did see the first one.
Hate
but
it!
Very,
hate it!
Very few.
God!
Very few that I don't. And I'm probably not as critical with my favorite film genres. I think because I'm so happy to see a musical, especially lately when we hardly get any at all.
Right.
And so I'm not very critical. I'm not as critical. And thrillers, I think I'm also a little easy on the thrillers. I'm just not going to be too critical. Again, I'm just so happy that I have the chance to see a good film.
I know, to see any film you can, right? You are going to die, Betty Jo, because we are out of time, and I am so sorry because I could talk to you for another hour, so I'm going to have to say, can you come back on my show?
Well, anytime. You just let me know when. It's been great fun.
I'm going to save you for Christmas, so you better be planning. I'm going to get you for December. And I want to personally say you definitely need to check out Confessions of a Movie Addict. And also Saran and a True Maverick. You can find those on our website, BettyJoTucker.com. Thank you, Betty Jo, you little sweetheart, for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. I'm going to have you back on later on the year. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. It's been a great fun talking with you. And thanks so much to the people who sent in questions. They were great.
Well, be prepared because we're going to have more for you in December.
I can hardly wait. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Question Reality. I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. I'm going to be taking the day off to be Wine and Dine by Albert's, but we'll be joining you on February 21st at 5 when our guest will be Janet Klein. Thank you. See you later, alligator.
Do you usually have one too many cocktails? Feel bloated? Do you poop out at parties? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, you need the Face-to-Face NYC Betty Ford Spa Treatment. Face-to-Face NYC is the only place you'll be able to get the Betty Ford Spa Treatment. This 12-step program was designed to energize and detoxify your entire body. The spa treatment begins with a 45-minute body-melting massage, followed by a 15-minute hot oil hair and scalp massage. You detoxify under a warm foil wrap, and the freshman facial is applied. You will be so relaxed, we may have to scrape you right off the table. And for a limited time, if you mentioned you heard about us from Priscilla Leona on Question Reality Radio, you will get a whopping 30% off the Betty Ford Spa Treatment. Face-to-Face NYC is located at 20 West 20th Street, Suite 603, New York City. Call us today at 212-633-0404 or visit our website at www.facetofacenyc.com for more details. That's 212-633-0404 or facetofacenyc.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.